CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife.
We'll talk about that soon.
All right.
If you're a Patreon, you already know what I'm talking about.
Three, two, uno.
Oh, hold on. I got a rule.
Welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, and I want to keep that 3-2-1 in the cut, by the way, Rick Foster.
How's it going?
Good. See, this time I didn't restart. You thought I was going to restart, didn't you?
I did. You thought.
It was like, nope. I know what he's gonna do. I'm ready for it. I was prepared. I was set. I was ready.
Is that I forgot to do it, and it was a last second thing. So I was like,
"No, I could tell. I could tell because he's like he never gives me the last count. He never, you know, it's always in the middle. It's always like one of the numbers. It's always something. It's always there. But I know the one rule I think that we have." And of course, for those who are new to the show and wondering what the hell we're talking about, typically when Rick Foster is a frequent guest in the show, he's been on countless times. But I think, was it started at the very beginning, your first appearance, or was it like your second appearance? I wouldn't even remember at this point.
It must have been second.
Must have been second. Mm-hmm. Because typically, you know, time to peel back the curtain a bit and reveal how the podcast is made. Typically, for some bizarre reason, I always do for a show, I always do the whole 3-2-1. I don't even know why I say uno. I think it's just because typically in television they do the whole, you know, 3-2, and then skip that one count, as made famous by, you know, Wayne's World, if you've ever, you know, watched that film. But for some reason Rick Foster has always screwed up the count.
Yep. To be fair, the first time I screwed it up, it was because I legitimately needed to stop. And then eventually I was like, oh, hang on. And then it just kept going and going and going. And then I was like, okay, Roberto's being frustrated.
No. The thing is that I was like, all right. Because it's okay. Because I believe in the joke, the idea of, I think it was what was in the Clerks cartoon, the way they called it, the Mandel. Where it's you do it first, it's funny. Mm-hmm. Second time, all right, that's really funny. Third time, genius. 35th time, comic gold or something like that. because that was literally like that's how Mandel would do. He'd love running gags and running jokes. I mean, that's the greatest thing about the Clerks cartoon still is the fact that they never got to have the best joke pay off.
What joke was that? I know they did a clip show in episode two.
Well, they paid it off, but they the only way it would pay off is if you'd watched it, you know, from the first episode to the last episode. Mm-hmm. And it was the thing was a joke. The joke was, why are you walking like this? Because they did like the first episode. I think like by episode 4 or 5, they repeated the joke. Like, why are we walking like this? And it's one of the best callback gags in that entire series, because it's the gag that if you watch the first episode and watch it on, you're just like, this is great. This is so fucking funny that they called it back like that far into the series. I think it might have been that. And of course, then the last episode being the whole Clerks cartoon callback or Clerks series callback. As the last episode ever, which never aired.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, we can talk about Clerks cartoon all goddamn day if we wanted to.
I mean,
so I've been Rick. Been a long time since you've been on.
Yes. I'm Cosmic Radio TV regulations require me to only be on once every 6 months, just because if you go to the well too much, it ruins a good thing. So,
well, because like with you, it's always the funny thing is I had meant to have this episode a lot sooner in the cycle of things.
Yes. But Rick likes to subscribe to a lot of emails and ignore a lot of emails. He has multiple email addresses. I go to one email and yeah, I just completely forgot to respond to this one. And by the time I responded, he's like, dude, it's over. Like, you replaced.
Like, yeah, Kyle took your position. No, but even before that, like, I wanted to get you on, and Rick's like, hey, bad news. I can't do this now because I have to do school stuff and such.
Fucking school, man. I absolutely hate it. I recommend everyone go to school, for one. Two, fucking school sucks. So,
well, because I mean, like, it sucks. Like, again, from a point of view of me, like, I've been out of school for a while, so, you know, a lot of my stuff is done and over with, and I don't have to ever worry about school again, at least right now. But I still have friends of mine that, you know, it's kind of cool still to see, you know, it's always funny to see my friends who are still in school kind of have that, especially with you, just because of, like, Rick's always a go-to. Rick has never said no. Rick is always like, yeah, totally, I could do it. This is the first time I get a Rick say, sorry, bro, I got schoolwork and papers and junk. I can't be on and such.
This year was different because if you've been listening on my journey last year, I was on probably around this time talking about school. Last year, I didn't have a job while I was doing school. This year, I do. And so now it seems like every semester I add a new challenge to my plate of like, okay, so first semester I started in school, I was like, oh, you know, we'll do four classes. We'll see how it goes. And did fantastic to the point where I was bored. At times,
bad sign.
So I was like, all right, you know, let's amp this up a bit. Let's do five a semester. Got a little rough. I pulled through, mainly because it was science classes that did me in the end. And I was like, okay, that was not that bad. So let's amp it up. Let's add a new challenge, and let's add a job on top of it. And I was like, great, let's do the job thing. And that's where things start to crumble a bit, because when you get that smell of money, it's really great. And you kind of forget the whole reason why you're supposed to be somewhere. You're like, oh, geez, you know, it's like Brink, you know, when you get a taste of the money and you just want to, you know, keep skating for the money. But originally you're just skating for the fun of it. And then you have a whole huge talk with your dad about how skating is what you do and not who you are. And that's pretty much how that was it.
Is that what you're going to bring up?
Yeah. So, you know, to the point, you know, I did great in four out of the five classes. One class I got a D-, which I think I have to retake, but that's neither here nor there. It actually works out in the end, so that's fine. And then this semester, I kept the job, and I worked during the day, during, you know, Fridays, instead of just special events and things like that. And I decided to put off a semester-long project until the day before it was due. So,
yes.
The classic, the college move that every student makes.
I can't name the amount of papers that got written in a night.
It wasn't even a paper. It was a paper / presentation. So I had to do. So it was nerve wracking, and it was budgeting and planning for video production. So research a shit ton of numbers and do all this stuff. And I actually put off making the script. I actually turned it in almost a week and a half late of the original due date, but everything ended up okay because I got a C- on that. And it was like, whoa, this is really late. Oh, by the way, you need to add more things and blah, blah, blah. And your budget is $35,000 and blah, blah, blah.
That's, I was cheap, like, all right, great. Film.
I was like, $35,000? That's nothing. That'll be easy. Whatever. Turns out when you put that stuff off last second, it is not easy. And you end up staying up until 3 a.m. and then you got to be up at 6 a.m. to go to your job. Another job, by the way, I forgot to add that portion. I got two jobs for the first semester of this school year. So that was cool. And the one job is I got to be up at 6 a.m. to ride with my girlfriend to the job, and I watch kids for a half hour, and then I'm out. And yeah, so That's a really cool job of waking up early and dealing with that stuff, but very rewarding, I should say. And yeah, did the whole project in however many hours, got like 3 hours of sleep that day. I did the presentation and I had like tech failure, like right off the bat, because I decided, oh, you know, I'm going to plug in my laptop instead of, you know, a USB this time around. And yeah, tech failure. Fucking first, as the second slide, and I embedded the video into the PowerPoint presentation and the sound just didn't work. And it was just like so awkward, because out of all the things that would screw, like, that doesn't screw me up, it's tech and, you know, problem, you know, troubleshooting tech. But when it came to troubleshooting that plus a presentation after I finished that little hiccup, it was just like, oh geez, and I'm sweating bullets. And normally I don't have problem talking in front of people, but that time around after that hiccup, it was fucking awful.
What's funny is usually whenever I have a lot of friends who go to college sometimes, and you know, I had some friends of mine in college who were like trying to get a job and trying to figure out money stuff, and I always suggest to never ever work outside of college while you're in college, if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to get a job on campus, because they essentially pay you to study. They don't pay you a whole lot of money, and it really isn't lucrative, but their mission in life, whereas a rail job can pull shit like, I'm sorry, Rick, you gotta work these hours or else we go to fire you.
Well,
a campus job, go for it.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, at least this job that I have, it's very like, hey, you know, make your own schedule type stuff. And for me, I was like, fuck it, let's just load it all up. Like, let's do as many games as possible. And yeah, no,
that's bad.
No doubt.
Bad thing. Whereas a campus job has to work around your school schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have to. And they only legally can at least in the state of Texas. I don't know if I assume it's similar in the state of Colorado and
mm-hmm.
and other states as well, just based on the nature of things. They can only work you so many hours a week and only work you so many hours even in a year. And they have to be like, oh, it's finals week. Sorry, that's cool. Like, they have to work around your school schedule. They're legally obliged to do that. And it's weird. It's strange. The funniest thing I did, the best thing I ever did, though, for my job at campus, and I'm sorry, I don't know if I told the story, but I'll tell it anyways. I was walking to my and this is, you know, my senior year, my like last year, and I'm walking to my job, and you know, I see a stage there set up, like, oh, it's for graduation, cool, and I walk in there, and do my job, and I realized as I was done with my job and I left for the day, that I was supposed to be on that stage, because that was for the rehearsal of graduation. That was not even in my mind at the time, even though I was graduating that year. And it was so funny being at graduation itself and going, okay, I know what position line I'm in, cool, and then trying to fake every bit of it, just sort of bumble my way through, and lo and behold I did, and lo and behold I could. And it made me realize how useless that rehearsal is. But it was my proudest moment of, like, I think someone had messaged me like, hey, where are you? I'm like, I'm at work. What the fuck? Oh, shit. And it was just like realization that I should have been there. And I'm like, well, fuck that. I'm going to be at work instead. You know, fuck it. I'd rather work on code or something than this bullshit thing. The funniest thing I'd ever done was that I missed my entire rehearsal graduation. Not because I didn't want to graduate, but because I mean, as much as I you know, enjoy having a college diploma and it's, you know, one of my prouder moments in life, I really did not want to walk at all. It was but I knew that if I didn't, my mother would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that, you know, beyond, you know, suffering the fact that I switched majors and doing all the things that I did, I'm like, I know that she would, that's the proud moment for her, seeing me walk and hearing my name, and then you know, getting a piece of paper that says, you know, actually, I think it was a case that when you opened it, it said, this is not your diploma. Your real diploma will come in pending your grades. Like, well, this is useless.
Oh, jeez.
I have it. So I have it completely notarized in my folder of files. So it happened. You know, I did get my degree. I'm just not going to fucking pay for a grad degree.
The worst thing about school is being with students that are like, oh yeah, I'm graduating this year. And I'm just like, you'd have one more year. Shut the fuck up. You know?
So well, here's, like, here's a question. Cause you have to be older than most of the students there.
Yes. I would say, starting out, I was definitely, cause I had to take some like general bullshit, you know, right. Take this English class. You have to take this science class.
1301, 1302.
Mm-hmm. And, so I took those and I was, one or two as far as like being the oldest. And when you take your degree classes, it seems like you're kind of middle of the pack, for me at least. English was just ridiculous because I'm the second oldest and I'm just like, we just have to do this. And yeah, it's shitty, but it's whatever. Once we get it done, we're done.
I just don't even know what to write about.
And it's just like, what do you mean you don't know what to write about? It's just about you. This is the first paper, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
It's about you. And she's like, well, I'm just a 19-year-old white girl living in I don't have any experience. I'm just like,
pause. Only because I love the like, did she actually say I'm just a 19-year-old white girl?
Yes.
Oh my God, even better.
In city close to me. I don't want to name the city, but it's just like, yeah, she literally, like, I have no experience, like nothing to write about for life experience. I'm just like, make something up. I'm like, take something that was like really minor in your life and exaggerate it. What's the teacher going to do? Call your goldfish that may or may not have died. You know, I'm just like, I literally told her, I was just like, just
make shit up,
make it up. It's the first paper. It's mainly to weed out. It's to gauge where you're at.
Yes.
In your, you know, English ability.
Correct. Yeah. That is ultimately the rule. And I learned this when I did 1301. And I wrote my paper because they asked the same thing. Like, write something about your past. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it, did whatever, and shipped the paper, whatever. In my class, our teacher had mentioned that a lot of people. And I guess this was sort of a weird culture shock, not culture shock, but sort of a weird language shock. As a guy who grew up in the Midwest, you know, Michigan, and then did college in Texas, there at an A&M satellite school. The teacher had mentioned that a lot of students, like, a lot of papers are okay, except for some reason, a lot of you guys kept using the word back in the day. And then we had this whole class of explaining why you shouldn't write back in the day, and my head's going like, yeah, of course you shouldn't fucking write back in the day. Why the fuck would you use back in the day to set any sort of, why would you use a colloquial phrase back in the day in a collegiate paper? And I realized, oh, okay, I'm at the point where I'm already writing college level papers. Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
And that should have been a signal for me of being the English major at the time. But, you know, I didn't learn that until like, my second year. but yeah, like that's always a fun. That's why I imagine it's got to be kind of a little frustrating to you just because, you know.
And there was this other thing in English 101 where, there's the whole like, oh yeah, give your paper to someone else and they'll critique it. And, you know, they'll try and grammar out your shit and blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm drinking a beer. There was a guy that sat next to me and he's like, hey, you know, critique my paper. And, you know, I read it and just to me, it wasn't good. And to me, knowing how college students are, at least from the prejudice side of things to look at, it was clear that the guy wrote the paper, 2 hours before class. And I was like, listen, man, do you want my super honest opinion or do you just want me to sugarcoat it? He's like, just give me your honest opinion. I was like, dude, it's clear that you wrote this like 2 hours before class. There's an idea here. But I feel like if you just had more time and you kind of thought it out a little better, it'd be a way better paper. And he's like, dude, I've never received feedback like that. That's awesome. Like, that's really great. Like, you know, yes, you caught me. But, you know,
it's like no one's ever told me that I'm a lazy bastard into my face like that.
And I was like, I was like, and then I'd rather ask before, you know, and be like, that's great. There's a few grammar things are wrong and that's it, you know. But this time I was just like, dude, like, If you just had like a couple more hours, or you know, did it over like,
you just gave a shit, you'd be fine.
Yeah, you'd be great. And he's like, dude, never received that.
I've never been told that if I just gave, if I just gave a damn, that things would work out better.
Yeah. So I don't know. In school, when you get past the general stuff, it's not that bad. When you get into the classes where there's some people that are just starting out, and there's some people that are about to leave, and the people that are about to leave don't know how to do the thing in the class, and you're just like, are you serious? And oh man,
I have a friend Mario, he actually does teach, and he tells me all these like stories of students that are great and students that are not so great, but it's such a funny thing to see all that stuff. But I love the idea, just because, you know, knowing your life experience, like you've like between you and I, only one of us has seen some you know, combat time, so to speak.
Okay, time out. Let's rephrase combat time.
Okay.
Let's say have been in the combat portion, but not actual combat of the military. Let's clear that out of the way. I'm not Captain America.
No. Like my original thing was going to be only one of us has seen some shit, and then I realized no, Rick probably hasn't seen some shit, and that's totally cool. But the point being is that you've been around a situation where there was the potential for shit.
Yes, correct. I have been in things like that.
Right, you haven't been in shit, but there was the you know, there was at one point where we talked about in the show, and this is in a past episode, where it was, I'm shipping off next week to, you know, potential place with shit.
Yes.
You know, I know that's saying that, you know, this is not to say that, but the point being is that, like, here you are with, like, 19-year-old kid, you know, white girl who's like, I've done nothing with my life. And you just, you know, like, how hard was it not to smack some of the kids you talked to?
Oh, it was kind of hard. But I was like, dude, well, in that same class, we had like a group project, but we were graded separately.
Go on.
And, the whole thing was, we went to the art museum, and we had to write about a specific art piece in the art museum, and kind of relate it to certain things, whatever. And then we had to present it in a PowerPoint, or you know, a presentation of some sort together, like kind of link them. And things. So me and this girl, we got ours done and we got our slides done, because we just separated the slides and then we combined them just before class, or you know, before the class started. This guy that was in, he was like, I was like, hey man, do you have your slides done? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm working on them right now, blah blah blah. And I'm like, you know, all weekend I'm just like, dude, this is like fucking, this is legit. Like, just all you gotta do is send them to me, you know, whatever. And he sends them, like, I don't hear back from him the rest of the weekend. Presentation time's coming up, and I have a class beforehand, so I don't have time to fucking, you know, put stuff into the PowerPoint. And 5 minutes, it must have been 30 minutes before class, I get an email saying like, oh, I got my slides, you know, can you put them in? Thanks, man. Thanks, bro. And so I like talked to him. I was like, dude, like, where the hell have you been? Like, I've been trying to like, I've texted you all week, you know, all weekend. If you have these done, and they gotten, you know, sold me. He's like, oh, I just have a lot of issues going on. I was like, dude, just tell me, like, and I understand people have issues, but like, and you blatantly ignore me and like not let me know what's going on, like that's a huge deal. Like fucking if you know, I just fucked up in the military, because at this point I was like still like in military mode. And
yeah, of course.
Like, dude, if I went up to my commander and I didn't have shit done, he'd fucking kill me. And
yeah,
be like, well, this isn't the military. And blah, blah. I'm like, dude, but it's still like, just let me know. Like I am more than willing to be like, okay, dude, just.
If you pull that shit at a job, you get fired.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, it's just school, man. And then I was like, fucking really? Do you want to do this right now? Like in front of class? And she's like, let's get done. And then like, he apologized to me afterwards. And I was just like, dude, just let me know. Like, if that shit happens, don't be afraid to tell someone. Like, you know, oh, you know, this thing happened. Like, I'm worrying about that right now. But as soon as I'm done with that shit, I'll send it to you. You know, just be honest. Like, that's the whole thing is, if you're in life, if you're honest, shit isn't going to hit the fan. Like, that is the honest truth.
Because it's like, and they was to ask you those questions because, you know, you are older and you have, you know, beyond just the fact that you're, you know, you're going to school for the first time. A lot of these kids are just straight out of high school. And
yeah.
And all of us straight out of high school were in some form or fashion pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah. When I went to college the first time, I was a fucking piece of shit. So, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. And I asked that just because, like, if I think about some of the kids again, because though, you know, I was definitely a piece of shit, you know, that being who I was, I at least had a certain amount of under control. But, you know, like, I wouldn't necessarily say, I don't think at, you know, I wasn't 19. I think I was like 20 something, you know, going to college anyways. But I don't think I would have said, like, I'm 19. I wouldn't have said uttered anything of, like, I have no life experience. Like, I could make something up, too.
Exactly.
But just, again, because I know how a lot of these kids are, not because they're bad, but because, again, they're 19. They're straight out of high school. Their parents are like, go to college and shove them there. And some of them don't even, you know. Well, because, like, you know, and I always, you know, consider you and other friends of mine who've gone to the military as sort of an example of that. Sometimes going to college straight out of high school isn't the thing you should do.
No,
you
know? Not at all.
You know? And that's not a bad thing. You know?
If you are not ready, do not go to college. Like, I went to college twice kind of thing. The first time, I think, how did I get enrolled the first time? Oh yeah. My mom enrolled me just out of the blue. I'm like, and it was like random ass classes she signed me up for that I had no idea if we're going to fall under any degree, things like that. And I failed, I think, 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 4. I took 5 courses and I failed 3 out of 5. So, and at that point I was like, well, you know, this isn't for me. I'm going to take a year, like, work, get out of my own, not be like around my parents, all that shit. And it worked out. And before I got out of my apartment to live back with my parents, I signed up for school again. And it was great. And that you have that, what is it? The first 2 weeks of like, oh, this is new, this is exciting, and blah, 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 at college, you know, I'm going back to school for myself and all that stuff. And then after that kind of puppy love phase, you're just like, oh, fuck this. You know, oh, I don't need to be here. Well, I'm fucking out of here. So I took 5 courses there. I failed 3 out of 4. I did take 5, but I ended up dropping that because there was no coming back from that class, which was psychology. And I took it the first time I went to college and I was like, oh, I could beat this. I could beat this course. Like, it was, I was just not in the right frame of mind when I took it the first time. So I tried it again and it was even worse the second time. So, and I also in my mind, I was like, oh, I just need to travel to school. Like, if the school is closer to my house, you know, I just will stay at home. Now, if the school is really far away from me, that means I have to plan to go to school and all that stuff. And yeah, it didn't work out. Not at all.
No,
not the slightest. And that's when I had to talk to my dad and he's like, yeah, you know, listen, I don't know what you want. Like, do you know what you want to do? I was like, yeah, I'm really, really thinking about like going to film or television production or something like that. He's like, listen, if you're going to do that, that's great. That's awesome. I support you, but you can't keep, you know, doing the, you know, 2 out of 5, like passing classes and stuff like that. Cause like that's one, it's going to take you forever to do it. 2, eventually you're going to get blacklisted from signing up from school because of academic eligibility. And I just can't afford it. Like, you should really look into military stuff and blah, blah, blah. And that's how I joined. I don't know if I ever told that story on here. So if I did, whoopsies to the longtime fans, because I feel like that's
No, I think I still think it's an important thing to do because, you know, I, especially now in this era of, you know, we have a lot of people who are doing amazing things. Like, I never went to college. I did it right out of high school. I didn't, you know, do this. I sort of learned on my own. And I think that those people that do that are the exception rather than the rule in life. I think a lot of people, because I like the one thing I say about college that helped me out was beyond the idea of sort of helping me realize, like really college, a lot of it, especially on the undergrad level, is you sort of learn how to learn. You figure out how to research something quickly or readily. I'll meet, especially in my job in IT, a lot of my coworkers, not all of them, but a lot of my coworkers, you know, didn't necessarily go through college. They went through, you know, quick certification program or a little bit later and are very smart people. And they know how to do a certain thing a certain way. But not all of them know how to find something really quickly or how to learn something. Like for me, like I've never had I don't have any IT certs under my belt. But I know a lot more about Linux than a lot of my coworkers do. And I know how to find things out and how these things work. Sometimes more than my coworkers even understand they do. Just because, again, I kind of know how to research. I'll poke into something. I'll look it up. I'll read it online. I'll go over a whole bunch of Cisco documentation or something like that, reading a syslog. I don't know what the fuck it means.
And Gadawag says, you know, he went to school, college during high school. And if that's thing you can do, fucking do it, you know?
Yeah, and the thing being, a lot of what I mean is that sometimes there's a certain sort of level, and again, not like I've done college and don't think I was the stellar student all the time either, but a lot of what I learned in college was, like, for me, because I went in as an MIS major, sort of computer guy, and then ended my degree with an English degree.
Mm-hmm.
And which is the almost, people would say it's the polar opposite of what it is. And here I am now working in IT. But a lot of times, like, it doesn't, like, a lot of people always stress out what to study because they always think of, like, well, if I study this, it means I can get to this point, I can get to that. And ultimately, none of that matters. Like, if you want to be a medical doctor, you take whatever degree you want.
Yeah.
Because I think the real lesson of college, if you ever want to go into a master's program of any kind or a doctorate of any kind, and that includes medical doctor, is just be ready to read and write a ton.
Yeah.
And any degree you take, whether it be film, whether it be computer science, whether it be English, science, medic, whatever the hell, you're going to be reading, you're going to be writing a heck of a whole lot of stuff. So it doesn't even matter which degree you pick. Just pick a degree that you enjoy because you're going to be here for the next 4 to 5 years doing this.
Yeah, definitely. And what helps is even if you're not necessarily like, oh yeah, I want to be a film person and blah, 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 or video editor, you know, but if that's a general area you want to go into, it helps because colleges now, if you're like, hey, you know, I don't want to be a journalist. I want to be a public relations, like, you know, minor and things like that. A lot of that stuff falls in together. They are willing to be like, oh yeah, you know, we can just change. We can substitute that class for this and, you know, this, and, you know, it becomes like, you know, a puzzle, you know, for an advisor or counselor or whatever the equivalent is, wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, people are saying in the chat room, especially Brant, the community college is a dope option for people who don't want to spend the rest of their life in debt. And I fully agree, especially if you don't have an idea what you're doing. I know a friend of the show and friend of you and mine, James, Demon5, there on the Twitters and such. I think he did some community college to get his basics out of the way. And I was like, that was one thing I told him. Cause I know he's going to game development. I think I was like, yeah, get your basic out of the way, like the cheapest place, because it doesn't matter. And the beauty part about that is when you want to transfer to another school, if you want to transfer, you know, another university, a lot of those credits transfer over, one, but two, you have a little bit lower threshold on the GPA because you have proven yourself, hopefully, and your mission is to do this, is to prove that you can do college coursework,
mm-hmm.
whether it be writing and all that kind of stuff.
And I was going to say, and the one thing I mean, this is like a crash course on college. Who would have thought this show would have been life lessony? But the thing is that when it comes to, because even the classes that I did not fail in those two semesters I took, they transferred into my current degree. And so I got speech out of the way, you know, and I didn't need to retake that. I got something else out of the way, and I took a couple of courses through the military, and that stuff transferred over. So instead of being in school for 3.5, I ended up being, well, I will be in school for 3 years, minus the missteps and all that shit. And yeah, English 101, as long as it's not at Trump University, will transfer anywhere.
I want to know what credits Trump. I really want to know what credits you could gain at Trump University. Not get too political, but I want to, because I started reading, you know, a lot of the, like, that's become a sort of the news cycle on CNN, the whole Trump U and a whole bunch of other things political. That's the one thing I want to read up is what a typical coursework would have been at Trump University and that kind of thing.
So if you have a subscription to HBO, I highly recommend watching this past week's Last Week Tonight, because he ends up doing a segment on Trump U, and the people that had to, like, sell Trump U to students and things like that, it's basically you're pitching, like, a product to everyone, and their thing, the funny thing about it is that he's like, tell the people that are trying to enroll, and when they enroll, instead of saying thank you for enrolling, you know, this is gonna be great, say congratulations. Because when people say congratulations, you say thank you, you know, like it's a reward for being a part of Trump University. It's like, it's so, like, slimy and and things like that, but it is absolutely a Trump thing to do, is start his own university.
Yeah, and that's we could talk hours on that too. I mean, it's
Trump as I was growing up in high school, right? He had water called Trump Ice, and you can buy this water bottle at stores. In fact, I will, while we're talking, I will.
Yeah, we probably need a visual for that. Pop in the chat room and that will be for the future prosperity of the world.
Here's the funniest thing about that is the way I captured this, this awesome photo, it was through Text America, which, if you remember that service way back in the day, it was basically the low quality Instagram, but you had to send a text to that thing. It was like your own personal photo blog thing.
Right.
And I'll try and find it. But yeah.
It's weird because, again, in college to me has always been, and again, you know, and maybe this was instilled to you, is instilled to me. And though, you know, as life has gone on, I realized that there are other ways to get where you want to get to that aren't always college based. And I've personally, you know, I'm glad I went to college. Mm-hmm. I not only learned a lot about, you know, who I am as a person, but, you know, how to interact with certain people, how to do certain things. And more importantly, sort of figure out how to learn and that kind of stuff. And for me, it was probably the smartest decision that I'm glad my parents would have instilled upon me to be a part of. There's the picture of Trump Ice in the chat room. If you're a bit late, and
if you want the definition of low quality, please look up.
You want the def? Well, hey, I mean, that's, the picture's okay. I don't think it's that low quality. I mean, it's definitely Donald Trump, and definitely says Trump Ice, but you know, I mean, I think the picture's worth far is higher quality than the product that was inside the bottle.
It tasted like water. I do remember
that. I hope it tastes like water. It'd be like, yo, Trump Ice, man, it tastes like vodka.
Oh my god,
cheap as vodka.
As a kid, that would have been the greatest thing.
It would have been amazing because it is vodka. That's what Trump Ice should have been, just pure fucking vodka and water bottle.
It's the only water I drink at Donald Trump is vodka.
I mean Trump Ice.
I mean Trump Ice.
Fucking No, but you know, and I'm glad that my parents did instill that upon me because that, but I know that that's not the only pathway to what is you do. Like I've met people who have never gone to college who are very successful, people who have gone just as Josie Scream, very successful. And then I met, you know, people who, you know, many, not just you, but like, you know, many of my coworkers were, who are, you know, in IT and very successful in IT are all part of, you know, they're all like military and they all, you know, mm-hmm. worked in, you know, all the network setup of that. And I would never, you know, I would never think in my head that, especially, and I think about it now and it makes a heck of a lot of sense, but I probably never thought about it as a kid in college. Like, what do you mean there's computer guys in the military? And like, you know, if you ask me now, like, of course there's computer guys in the military. You get how much fucking network resources there are, you know? But as a fucking college kid, I probably would never have even remotely, you know, thought of that as even an option in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's school, man. Let's move on from school. Actually, you know what? One last thing I want to talk about school is I had to take a communication law class, which is basically, you know, you're learning about copyrights and, you know, famous like copyright things and privacy, whatever. I actually really learned a lot from that class, but I also didn't learn anything from that class, if that makes any sense. The way I explain it is like the stuff, like I absorbed what he was talking about and things like that. But when it came to like test material, or no, book material specifically, I couldn't tell you a fucking thing.
If you ever want a really quick primer on our copyright system and how it is, grab a copy of let me get the book title, because I said it before in the past, but it's Lawrence Lessig's.
But the one thing I do want to mention about the class is that we did like fake courtroom scenarios. And if anything, the class taught me how broken the court system is when it comes to like small little details. Because I had to do, we had to do a copyright case about like tattoos and video games, and I fucking bought the game, and I like did some like video capturing of the game, and be like, oh, you know, see right here, you can, you know, put the other guy's tattoo on your own creative player and say it's yours and all that stuff. And the only reason why we lost the case, like the in regular court, maybe it's because in regular court, you're not like, oh, you know, he's guilty because, you know, even though we agree that this is copyright, you didn't provide proof that it was, you know, the thing. And I also have like evidence of the lawyers in quotation marks saying like, oh, you know, yeah, we copied it. And it's just like, but you, so that admitting to it, that means you lost. Like that is it. And no, it doesn't work out like that because.
The book is Free Culture. It's a really, really good book. Cause it's such a funny thing. Cause like you talk about film and copyright, like during like the early days of Hollywood, every one of those movies technically flaunted copyright, but not because of their content, but because I think it was like Edison had the patent on film or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I couldn't tell you specifics.
I'm playing this off the top of my head, really. I'm trying to remember. It's like Edison had the patent on it, and everyone in Hollywood and California said fuck that shit and made movies using film and all this stuff, and was like just blatantly making them. This is back again, like in the fucking early days. But you know, the whole book talks about everything, like the original, like the original copyrights were for things for like cartography charts and shit like that. Like this is again centuries ago, but just the idea of how copyrights become this very interesting thing, because like you mentioned the whole idea of court cases and proving things, like, you know, like right now we're in this sort of process online. It's becoming more and more apparent. The idea of, and I don't mean like me and Charles talked about in the past, the idea of fair use, especially in YouTube and all that stuff and everything else. And what a lot of people don't quite understand about fair use is that that it's not a defense in its own right. You still have to prove it in court. You know, like you can say, oh, it's fair use. And there's these pillars of fair use that we tend to go by. But in the end of the day, to prove something is fair use, it requires legal defense. It requires going to court and all that stuff. You know, and that's sort of what a lot of people don't quite realize, that that's the system we're in, because we're in such a weird nebulous area with DMCA takedowns and sort of these auto fixing things. Because if ever YouTube or Google, I should say, ever had to staff enough people to just make these and again these judgments in minutia, because a lot of copyright stuff is not, there's no absolutes, there's no like yes it is this or no it isn't, like you're mentioning the idea of that whole court case thing.
And that was the one thing I primarily focused on in communication law, was fair use, because at that point when the class started, the Fine Brothers stuff started happening. So that was the most like intriguing thing to me in learning things about that. And I have a whole better use of fair use, pun intended there.
A lot of my fair use knowledge is just I've learned, but even I know at the end of the day, and that's the thing no one talks about fair use, is that you still got to prove it in court, and there's no absolute, like what you may think is fair use truly is not fair use. Mm-hmm. And what you may not think is fair use may actually be fair use. I mean, there's even the idea of like parody law is always fascinating. The idea of like, well, if you sell it for commercial work, it's parody. And now we have this world where it's like, well, like let's take like Red Letter Media as an example. They have a Patreon going on. If they turn off ads, within their YouTube videos, but they're getting paid by a Patreon, does that constitute as a commercial work?
Exactly.
And this is where that nebulous world gets into.
Go ahead. What constitutes a review compared to, a parody law fair use thing. So that's the other thing too. And that was here's a recommendation. If you have some sort of like doubt in a course that you're like, oh fuck, I got to take this. It's for my degree, whatever. Take one thing that you're like, I want to learn? I want to learn about that in that class. Like, focus on that. If you fail the class, well, shit happens, whatever. But your main focus is to complete that goal of like, the class didn't go so well, but I know so much more about this, and that's what I wanted to get out of the class. And by the way, you should never it really is hard to fail a college class. It's hard. And I use hard in as long as you're going to classes and turning in your stuff and participating in class, you will not fail. Like, period. It's really hard. The only other like thing is the teacher's like a super mega prick or it's like a fucking defense class of like, hey, you need this class because it's going to be a main part of this in your career. And that's why they fail people. It's like surgery, surgery 101. If you kill someone on the mock, table, I wouldn't fucking want you to pass the class. Well, he showed up for every class and he knows where the heart is, but he did cut the red vein instead of the blue vein. So, I'll let him pass in the surgery 102. No, I'd fail you. Like,
right.
No, it's sense. Actively hard to fail a class.
It is technically hard to fail a class. It requires a lot of, you almost have to, because the beauty thing about a college course, and this is the last thing, because we're almost out of time, actually.
I should mention before you wrap up, we wrap up this, if you're having trouble, go up to the teacher and be like, hey, man, am I just like not getting in? Am I dumb? What's going on here?
That's exactly what I was going to say. That was the first thing I was going to say, because ultimately, a teacher, the hardest thing a teacher can do is fail you, especially if you come in and ask, I don't understand, and that you, if you make the effort, and make the effort, meaning go talk to your teacher, maybe to get tutored or whatever, they will do their best to help you, because it's rare that a student shows effort in the first place.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, the beauty thing about going to college course, and if it's done right, they basically give you the entire fucking course.
Yep.
You know, everything of what's going to happen, and if they're a good professor, they tell you when things are due, is all in the syllabus there. It's all given to you the first day of, like, here's our flight plan today.
Yep.
You know, and things change and things get cut, whatever, but they all give you that piece of paper that says, here's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it lets you kind of plan things, lets you know what to buy and book wise and stuff like that. But, and again, none of this, it's good to know those things, because if you look at the syllabus and typically this is sort of what happens, there's a point in time, like at the very beginning of a course, where, you know, let's say you signed up for a course and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. Usually within that first week, you can drop out and get your refund on the money and not spend a dime.
If you're not feeling the course, I highly recommend dropping out immediately, because if you have, you know, like I said, if you're not feeling the teacher, you know, drop out like immediately, things like that, because most schools, it's 1 week and you'll get 100% refund. And obviously, you know, once you hit certain parts of the semester, you get, you know, 75% back and, you know, 50%, right, whatever, things like that. So if you're not feeling it, like in the beginning, don't fucking, you know, sit there and be like, well, you know, I'll try and make it work. You know, unless you're like me and you're just like, I'm gonna fucking beat this thing.
Don't take that mentality. Take the walk, you know, to use a baseball term, just because it's some, like, there are many times where I dropped a course in college. And, you know, it was the middle of the semester and it was like, this is your last time for it not to count for credit. And I'm like, or for it not to, you know, be on your record forever and you failed. Like, all right, I'm dropping. And I didn't get a refund, whatever, but I dropped it because it's like, I had to do it. And yep, you know, it was a smart decision to do because it just wasn't working and something happened. And, you know, it happens all the time, but don't feel the one thing, you know, that I think that you can learn from college is it's totally cool, I think, to understand that you didn't do it right the first time.
Yeah.
And that to try again, because, you know, you learn from a failure, you learn from a mistake and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Rick, I think we've hit the mark. We've pretty much, we've talked to death everything.
That concludes School 101. Tune in next time for School 102. When I talk to you about how beer is your friend. And alcohol helps the pain.
Okay, so, you know, before we stop, this is something, like, before we stop, because, you know what, we talked about school, but I want to see if I can pull out one more story, not from you,
ooh,
and only because you work with people who are, well, you know, work with you, you go to class with people who are younger than you,
who
are probably, you know, potentially beginning their venture into the world of alcohol.
Has anyone
come to class either completely hungover out of their mind, high, drunk, or a combination of three or four?
Oh, yes. I'm one of them, actually.
Okay.
So for some of my classes this year, for my second semester, I had a final at a bar, which is just like, because you have to, the rule is, if you don't require a final, you still have to meet.
Right.
So it was like, okay, so, you know, we got to meet for this final. We're going to meet at the bar over at blank. And I was like, okay, whatever. I have a final anyway, so I'll just meet there. And which is funny, because I also ran into the teacher as I was printing out like the take home final or whatever. I was like, hey, man, like, how's it going? He's like, oh, you know, you're going to be, you're gonna be at the final today, right? I was like, yes, but like, I might be a little late. He's like, well, why are you gonna be late? You're here already. You know, it seems like you're ready to go. I was like, well, I gotta run the Best Buy because I gotta go pick up Deadpool. And he's like, okay. Because I had to take the rail back, like, over to Best Buy and then take it back, because I had to get the steel book of Deadpool. So, because it's a collector's thing, you know.
Yeah, of course. So that's an understandable thing. A steelbook version of a movie is totally legit purchase.
Yeah. So I had to go get that before it ran out of quality, you know, quantity or whatever. So he's like, yeah, okay, well, I'll trust you that you'll be there. And so I made it, and of course, there was like people under 21 at the bar or whatever. And I was like, I was the first one to order a beer. And then my friend, he's like, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. And then it proceeded to, we had four beers together, and then we had a final together, like right afterwards. And so we're just like, well, fuck it. Let's just go to the final. And so we're four beers deep and we're like at the final, and there's people in our class that are just like, well, you know, this and well, and we're just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like you are awful. This person, maybe offline, I'll tell you the story. Cause I cannot tell the story.
Well, we'll hold it for the post show or the hidden post show that no one will ever hear. And that Rick tells the story for. But I'll really quickly mention that in the chat room, because people are asking what the heck a steelbook is. It's basically usually the collector's edition of a movie. Typically, it's like a hard case, kind of a metal sort of thing. Usually has kind of a steel look, has kind of an embossing to it. And usually only fancy movies get put in what are called steelbook cases. Some Criterion Collection movies are in steelbook. But it's just that metal decay kind of thing. You've seen it before in stores. Many a times, and usually with that, we'll cut to Rick's camera really quick because he's kind of showing it.
Yeah, it's just you know, it's kind of like a tin almost, and things like that. And yeah, it's really cool. It's easily scratchable if you're not careful, which is why I usually keep the plastic coating on it.
Yeah, what sucks for me is usually whenever I buy the movie. Like they released a steelbook version of the Chorus trilogy for Red versus Blue, and I already have all those seasons, and they're the same content, but it's sort of the cool thing they released. I'm like, oh man, I would actually like to have bought that, but I hate buying another movie with the, you know, but with the same content and stuff. Like it was additional content, maybe I would have bought it, but same, because Rooster Teeth does a really damn good job with their Blu-rays and just packing them the fuck with all kinds of extra features.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that Rick Foster, always a pleasure to have you on the show. If people want to hear more of your ramblings when it's not about college and drinking and stuff like that, where can people find you online these days?
Well, for starters, you can always find me at Rick Foster. You can also go to rickfoster.org. You can hear my voice with the lovely and great Jackie Hearn on Lawyer Up Podcast. You can go to at Lawyer Up Podcast. It's a podcast about Better Call Saul and Saul's misadventures of being a lawyer and things like that. So it's a really great podcast that I do with Sharon and Jackie as well. And I'm also currently trying to do a one man band show of myself, called Rick Foster's Guide, a survival guide to nothing, which is just me talking to the camera for 20 minutes and, possibly fucking up audio. So that's really great, to do. I did a test run last week or 2 weeks ago, something like that. And it went fine, except for the beginning where I didn't turn down my music audio. And Sharon was like, hey, I can still hear the music. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? And then, yeah. And then I was like, oh shit. And then, you know, and of course I left it all in there, whatever. Okay. Anyways. So there's that. And then, I'm also currently, Sharon and I are doing a Orphan Black podcast, called Lita versus Caster, an Orphan Black fan cast. And, hopefully when my mother gets out of town, I will have all that stuff posted and ready to go on Tuesday. And you can follow that podcast at Leda V Caster. That's LedaVCaster. And I think that's it. Also, I wrote a piece on I feel like I'm plugging everything. I apologize.
It's okay. That's what you're supposed to do.
I also wrote a piece on NXT TakeOver Dallas, which I was really proud of, and actually got quoted in Wikipedia, which the greatest invention in internet history is Wikipedia, especially to young people who need to plagiarize papers, which I do not advise anyone to do. It's if you go to at Rick Foster on my Twitter, it's the pinned tweet on the top. It's also at wrestleview.com. If you look up NXT TakeOver, it is awesome. That is it. You can also do Patreon thing, you know, at Roberto's Patreon.
That's okay. I handle my own plugs, Rick, but thank you so much for doing so. But if you want to follow me, I'm at Vincent404 there on the Twitters. Of course, if you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you get over to CosmicRadioTV.com/8BitLife. There you'll find links to the show notes, the Twitter account, which is at 8BitLife Podcast, and of course, the aforementioned Patreon, which is at patreon.com/8BitLife. Where if you want to help the show become bigger, better, and more awesomer, you can head over there and, you know, throw a few shekels my way. Because I don't know why I said shekels. It's not like the thing to say.
Hey, shekels are really good, especially when you get the currency rate going.
Yep, of course.
It's actually more.
I'll talk about currency in the post show. How about that? That's it for today. Next time, I talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Bye, people.
So long.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.